There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
We are sitting on the banks of the Brazos at the feet of McLane Stadium in beautiful Waco, Texas. You can't imagine the scene that we're going to see tomorrow. It is that time. It's time for College Football Live, coming at you right now.
Welcome to College Football Live, presented by Mazda.
It's the matchup of the weekend everybody can't wait for. Oklahoma, Baylor, Big 12. It's going to be an explosive one, and we are here hanging out. Game day's here. That means we're going to be here for College Football Live, getting you ready for this and everything you need throughout the weekend in college football. I am Jason Fitz. I'm hanging out here with David Pollack and Desmond Howard. Gentlemen, how's everybody feeling? Feels the weather after freezing my tail off in Connecticut. This feels fantastic.
It's beautiful.
You said this is great football weather. This game was a day.
This is a great scene, by the way. Too. Yeah. This is one of the cooler scenes right here on the water and stuff with the boats. And this is sick, man. It's an underrated scene.
You can't beat this weather, though.
Well, it's going to be an incredible game in this incredible weather tomorrow. And we're getting a little bit of strength on strength here. What we're getting is the best offense in the Big 12 versus the best defense in the Big 12 with Oklahoma taking on Baylor. And this is officially what we expect in Big 12 football. So the question is, gentlemen, when you've got strength on strength, David Pollack, how can Baylor's defense slow down Oklahoma's offense?
Well, I think you need to start with what's the most important and what's the strength of this Oklahoma offense. When I look at this Oklahoma offense, Jalen Hurts' running ability is number one. That's the first thing I try to stop. That's what they want to do. That's who they are. Yep. They're running a lot of quarterback runs, design quarterback runs, way more than you've seen the past couple years. And then make no mistake, when they make play action passes, they're going to CeeDee Lamb. That boy good. Yeah. That boy real good, okay? So make sure you stop Jalen Hurts' feet, and then CeeDee Lamb making plays down the field. He's the guy you got to make sure you cover and not leave open like that down.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is a playmaker. He doesn't have blazing speed, but he has just a knack to get open and understands routes. He understands concepts. He understands everything that's around him as far as defenses are concerned, so he finds little holes. And then his ability to run after the catch, too, is, I think, underrated. And you got to make sure. Now, they're going to rush three often, Baylor will. So that means you got eight guys out in coverage.
So I put five on CeeDee. Yeah. Five on CeeDee, we're good. Everybody else go ahead and win.
Yeah. But in fairness, Pollack, this is a Baylor defense that's playing much better this year than it did last year. So why? What's been the key for them?
Dude, they got some adults up front. Yeah. I mean, between Lockhart, Roy, and Lynch, I mean, you're talking about some big physical guys, and they know how to wreak havoc not only up front in the run game, they know how to wreak havoc and get after the quarterback without having to blitz a lot. So this is a hyperactive group, man. I tell you what, this is one of my favorite defenses to watch in all of college football. The way they hunt, they somersault, they flip, they're trying to get a piece of that ball carrier all the time.
I tell you what, you're dealing with a smart defensive line. You talked about Lynch. Lynch is a guy who has great athletic ability, but he's very, very intelligent. They talked about his IQ. I was talking to this coach yesterday in the weight room. He said his ability to look at plays and then diagnose plays is very elite. Guys just don't have that type of talent coming out of college. So I think that's what makes him special. Then he has other guys on the edges of him that who really, really get after the quarterback.
Especially defensive linemen. Yeah. We're not known for IQ. That's not our strength.
Oh, you said it. I didn't.
See ball, get ball.
Look, at the end of the day, this time of year, we can't have a conversation about a game without it being about the playoff. Now, the college football playoff predictor is taking a look at this. What's on the line? Well, just the fact that one of these teams are going to see their playoff hopes die. The other will go on chasing one of those top four spots. Currently, the Allstate playoff predictor believes Oklahoma has a better chance to make it there, but Baylor can flip the script with a win. So Desmond Howard, I ask you, you see the numbers. How much help do either of these teams need if they're going to make the playoffs?
Look how disrespectful that is. Even if Baylor wins tomorrow, they only have an 11% chance of making the playoffs. That means that the College Football Playoff Committee, they don't respect Baylor right now. So they will have to win this game. And then I think Texas, that'd be another big game if they're able to win, but they have the number three strength of record right now. So I'm like, how are they being disrespected so much? I don't get it. People don't respect their undefeated record. But tomorrow, I think if they beat Oklahoma, people like us will definitely have a lot of respect.
Well, and look what happened last week. Minnesota gets a big win. Boom. Shoots up the polls 9 spots. I think Baylor has an opportunity, too, to beat a quality team and get a quality win and now start to move up because – You got two lost teams ahead of Baylor. Baylor and the Big 12 are not in the best position right now for the playoff race.
Well, when you look at Minnesota, they take a big jump because they beat Penn State that was so highly regarded. The committee's right. already told us that they basically don't love the Big 12, right?
Yeah, OU's 10. Well, I mean, that's not bad. That's a top 10 win.
But 13 versus 10, I mean, that's what we're talking about. Yeah. That's not going to give you some meteoric jump for Baylor. That's not going to be the reason that they jump all the way up into the same range as, let's say, the Pac-12 or Georgia, right?
No, that's why you see it's only 11% chance, even if they beat Oklahoma tomorrow.
Tell me about that math. The respect still isn't there.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, you're right. Minnesota did earn respect. I just don't know if there's enough space left on the runway. Now, obviously, we're talking about this because tomorrow it's the matchup of the two top 12 teams. We've got number 10, Oklahoma, taking on unbeaten number 13, Baylor. That's 7:30 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. Going to be incredible game, obviously. And then today's blimp-worthy performers brought to you by Goodyear are the entire Georgia defense, all of them. They shut out Missouri last week 27-0. They improved to 8-1 on the season, the third shutout that the Dogs D has had this year, the most points they've allowed all year, 20 in their home loss to South Carolina. This has been an incredible defensive effort all year long. So we'll go to the former Georgia Bulldog here when I ask you, David Pollock, what defense is going to have a bigger impact tomorrow on the game, Georgia or Auburn?
First of all, both. I mean, let me tell you something. This is points are going to be a struggle bus.
Yeah.
You saw last week when Baylor played TCU and it was 9-9 at the end of regulation. I'm just saying points are going to be at a premium because both these defenses play exceptionally well. I think Georgia's defense has showed you I think they're better in the back end. J.R. Reed, Richard LeCount in the back end at safeties are really, really good. Georgia's got four or five corners that you feel comfortable playing man coverage with. So I think Georgia's defense is a little bit better I mean, also, when you think about Bo Nix and the offense, they've also struggled a little bit more. But Georgia's defense is creating turnovers, rushing the pass are better than they have in years.
Yeah, that's what I like about Georgia's defense. I mean, they're just all around talented. They're playing against a freshman quarterback. But the problem for me is Georgia's offense. Last week against Missouri, I saw the starting center go down, the backup center went down, and then the right tackle, Isaiah Wilson, he went out the game. So I'm worried about their offensive line going up against an Auburn defensive front that's really good with Marlon Davidson and Derrick Brown, those guys.
Adults.
Grown men. They play grown man football, those Auburn Tigers. I think that Auburn's defense, man, they may have a bigger impact. You got these guys, Davidson has 5.5 sacks on the season, Derrick Brown, 4 sacks, and they can obviously rush the pass. But they're pretty good against the run, too. So depending on what Georgia's offensive line looks like coming to that game is going to determine which defense plays better.
Look at Big Boy picking up that fumble. That's awesome. Big Boy, you know what? I've never seen as many big plays by when you look in the inside with Derrick Brown.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know how everybody has superpowers? And last year the Troopers were, what were they, the Clemson? They were all like super Troopers.
Oh, yeah. What were those guys?
Whatever Derrick Brown's superpower is, it's electricity. Because when he hits people, it's like, ow. Like, he literally.
Wait, one more time?
Okay, he literally just jacks folks up and their whole body just convulses. I mean, it's amazing. He's got the most powerful hands of anybody in college football.
Well, I still don't want to gloss over what you said earlier, which is Bo Nix, who I think is going to be a key in this game. Points are going to be at a premium, and Bo Nix has been very up and down when he's had to be at different times. So it depends on what version of Bo Nix we're going to get. In the meantime,
now the cheerleaders show up.
Well,
it's a party
happening right now. Coming up on College Football Live, Tua is still a game time decision for Bama against Mississippi State, but should the Tide consider resting him regardless? We'll debate that coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
College Football Live is presented by Mazda. Feel alive. And in part by Allstate, reminding you that football season is mayhem. You're watching College Football Live, presented by Mazda.
Tomorrow at 8 Eastern on ESPN Plus, UFC Fight Night got a main card featuring a top 5 light heavyweight battle and a 5-round main event from Brazil. You can't touch that. It's amazing. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com. Be sure to download the ESPN app if you're watching on your mobile devices. It's going to be a good one. In the meantime, ExxonMobil's unexpected energy has us looking at the Minnesota Golden Gophers, their home upset of Penn State last week. The win snapped a 13-game losing streak for Minnesota against AP-ranked teams. And PJ Fleck and Company improved to 9-0 for the first time since 1904. That is a long time ago. So it brings us to the trap game discussion, every cliche in college football. But it's a concern here. Dez, how does Minnesota avoid a trap game this weekend against Iowa?
Very easy, because this is a rival. They do not like each other. So it's very easy to get up for your rival. They understand what's at stake. They're coming off a huge win against Penn State. There's no doubt about that. But PJ Fleck does a masterful job of getting his guys up week in and week out for the next opponent. So they're going to be ready for Iowa. They know that Iowa would love to just, you know, disrupt their season, pretty much spoil their season. So trust me, they're going to be ready for the Hawkeyes.
You know what helps? It helps that Iowa's a 3-point favorite, according to Vegas.
Disrespect.
Minnesota's loss was a fluke. I think you use that, obviously, as motivation. But, I mean, listen, Minnesota is going to have to deal with the realistic expectations now of...
Yeah.
Guys.
Exactly.
You are so good.
That's right.
Can you believe it? Guys, y'all beat Penn State. Y'all climb 9 spots in the rankings. If you don't think that will happen, it will. And Iowa, obviously, is a team that... Their defense has played exceptionally well all year long, so I think that they better get ready. If they don't bring it, weird things happen in Kinnick.
I mean, you're absolutely right. It's a rivalry game. I understand that. But they are coming off the biggest win in really program history, right? So it's fair to think.
Well, I think they've won a national title, so it's not the biggest win in program history.
Well, fine. They're 9-0 for the first time since 1904. So they're coming off of the biggest win in a very long time. Let's say it that way.
Okay.
So when you're coming off of a huge win, I mean, how do you sort of normalize the expectations?
Well, then that's the coach's responsibility. That's what Dez was talking about with PJ Fleck. You just got to understand that that was one week, and now we got to move on to the next. Because if you start worrying about you were so good and you start listening to all those people that pat you on the back, there's a good chance you're going to come out and lose. Minnesota's not a team that is so talented that they can come out there and roll their helmet out there and they're like, oh, we got this dub versus Iowa.
Exactly.
That's not going to happen yet. They better understand who they are, what they are, and row.
And a lot of these coaches, they like to play the disrespect card. Hey, look at this. You guys, even though you beat Penn State, no one believes in you. We're the underdog. It's Iowa. They still don't believe you. No one thinks you're going to win this game. So now you just start to build up the team's morale because, no, it's us against the world type of mentality. And I think that's what he's going to use so he can go out there and beat Iowa.
Well, in the meantime, there's also a big SEC game to take a look at because of the quarterback situation. The last time we saw Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, he was limping off the field after a home loss to LSU. Nick Saban said this week Tua will be a, quote, game-time decision against Mississippi State. If Tua doesn't play, Mac Jones will be the signal caller for the Tide. So, Polly, how should Alabama handle Tua in that quarterback situation?
Well, I mean, you can look at Tua right there in that video. He wasn't 100%. I mean, I bet you started the game probably around 70% and left the game a lot worse. So if I'm Alabama, I would try my best to show, to practice him and to be smart with him in practice, get him reps, because I can't, Dez, just let him sit on the side and get rusty. He's still got to develop that timing and rhythm.
Yeah.
But there's no way in heck I'm playing him in the ball game. I would let Mac Jones take the reps and let him lead my team. He showed against Arkansas, an inferior team, that he can win. I think he could do the same this week.
Yeah, he's too valuable to this team to just play him right now in this game and to put him in further harm's way. Obviously, after the game, he was laboring the ankle, the surgically repaired ankle. He was hobbled. He was, you know, walking with the limp. He gave the team everything he could give them. He deserves some rest. He deserves a break. I would practice him, like you said, just to try to keep him sharp, but there's absolutely no way he will play Saturday if I was the coach.
Dez, would you have any concern knowing that you're the number 5 team in the country and you need to win some games maybe with style and show something to the committee? Are you at all worried about your ability to do that without Tua?
No, I'm not worried about style points at this point. His health in winning games late in the season with him being as healthy as he could be means much more than winning a game by 3 touchdowns or 4 touchdowns. At this point, you want to win to survive, but you also want to get to the end so you have a chance to get into the college football playoff. And the best opportunity possible for them to do that is going to be with Tua late in the season, especially against Auburn.
Well, and the cool thing is, if you're an Alabama fan and you feel good about it, is that you only slipped to 5.
That's it.
So you didn't go that far. It's not like you're down at 9 going, ooh, I got to get me some style points. They fell to 5, and they still don't have a top 25 win or a quality win that anybody points to. So there's obviously some respect for Alabama and what they've been able to accomplish so far this season.
Well, and you're right. They're so good that they'll be able to win this game without Tua. Coming up next, still ahead on College Football Live. Since the UNC game, Clemson is steamrolled through the ACC. But can the Tigers afford a loss and still make the college football playoff? We'll rock out with the band, and then we'll figure out what the future looks like for Clemson. That's all coming up on College Football Live.
The College Football Playoff Top 25 Ranking Show, Tuesday at 7 on ESPN.
College Football Live is presented by Mazda. Feel alive. And in part by Pizza Hut, official pizza of college football. Order now at pizzahut.com. No one out pizzas the Hut.
Stand up! Stand up!
Come on, college football.
It's hot!
Oh yeah, what a good ball.
Come on. Stand up!
Here we go!
Stand up!
Here we go!
Oh yeah!
The biggest
marquee
game every week on College Game Day.
Tomorrow on College Game Day, remember the LSU stare girl, the FSU book guy? Maria Taylor has the stories behind the famous fans in college football who became instant memes. Don't worry, Pollock, I'll tell you what a meme is after the show.
Plus, what do you mean?
Tom Rinaldi, he sits down with LSU head coach Ed Orgeron, who discusses the high points and low points in his career and the keys to the Tigers' unbeaten season so far. And speaking of undefeated teams, Baylor head coach Matt Rhule will join us live on set. All that and more tomorrow at 9 Eastern on ESPN. And the ESPN app. Meanwhile, right here on College Football Live, our Wolf Pack is grown by one. The great Gene Wojcicki joins us. Gene, going to give us, as you do, some opportunity to overreact or react to some things.
Yeah, let's play our little game. We played it before. Sense or nonsense, all right?
You like know the game. You know like this game.
Okay. Dez, I'll come to you first.
Okay.
Joe Burrow is an absolute lock to win the Heisman now. Sense or nonsense?
Nonsense. Let me tell you, one of my biggest pet peeves is when Heisman voters send in their ballots early. I think a player, I don't care what you think his chances are of winning the Heisman, if there is even one game left, you still need to judge each candidate by their full body of work. So I would never say this guy is a cinch to win the Heisman with what we got, like 3 or 4 games left. So no, nonsense.
I understand what you're saying, and I agree with it, and I will not send my vote in until the time requires, but it will be Joe Burrow. I'm pretty positive. So I think it makes sense because who else are you going to vote for? I think this is a year right now where Joe Burrow is giving you several moments. Justin Fields might have an opportunity.
Yeah, he got two games.
Yeah, he's got a couple games that might make you turn your head, but my God, what Joe Burrow just did and what he's done this season, it's gonna be very, very hard for somebody to take that spot.
This is a rarity, but I actually agree with David Pollock here. This is sense, and it's because no matter what the sport is.
I hope you don't vote.
Well, I don't.
Okay,
but
good.
No matter the sport though, when you look at the MVP, we become sort of used to certain things, normalized. When we see something that's out of the ordinary, that catches everybody's attention. That's what I think has happened here. Ultimately, we're all enamored with Joe Burrow, and the fact that we're seeing it from an LSU quarterback, it makes it too much momentum for him not to win.
Dez, you and me, buddy.
Thank
you and me, okay?
Thank you, sir.
I'll take Pollock.
Yes,
my tag.
Here's why. Have we already forgotten what happened last year?
Talk to
Remember?
Please.
Tua was going to win it.
Exactly.
It's done. It's in the bag. He's win. And then we got to November.
Exactly.
Things happen. An injury happens. An upset happens.
Yeah.
A bad game. 3 interceptions. Things happen.
There you
I
go.
Think there's always a chance.
Hope you two listen and learn. I just hope you do. Just listen to this.
We're listening.
Okay, listen to this. Second question. Sense or nonsense, Clemson needs to be undefeated to reach the playoff.
Oh, sense, for sure. I always said that Clemson has the easiest route to the college football playoff because the ACC is so weak. And I stand by that statement. If they lose any game, just think. The college football rankings came out. They were number 5, right?
Yep.
Because of the way they struggled against North Carolina. If they lost the game, oh, man, they're out.
I don't disagree. I don't know if it's right because if you start putting them against other one-loss teams, I think they'd have one of the best chance to win it, period. I think there's a couple teams. I would put them and two teams on the list of who I think have the best chance to win a national title.
Yeah.
That conference is really, really bad. It's the easiest path, and they show they've already deducted him, so I'm with Dez.
Yeah, I'm with all of you guys. I think it's sense because at some point resume has to matter, and the committee is told specifically not to factor in previous years. They're told to only look at this year, so they can't factor in the fact that they're defending national champions. They can only take the body of evidence this year, and there wouldn't be the resume without it.
And it hurts that they likely won't play a top 25 team this year or beat a top 25 team this year. In the past, 20 semifinalists have beaten a CFP ranked team.
Oh, wow.
So that works against them. Okay, third topic. Baylor, and I'm not pandering, okay?
Of course not.
Never
do that.
Baylor should not be ranked below Oklahoma, and they should not be a double-digit dog tomorrow.
Wow.
Wow, that's tough. I would say at this point, man, I think that's nonsense because you have to earn your respect on the field. And I think Baylor starts to earn their respect tomorrow against Oklahoma and then the following week against Texas. So at this point, I would have to say that's nonsense.
What has Baylor done so far that's really excited you? I mean, triple overtime against TCU, or double overtime against TCU, Texas Tech, triple overtime, whatever it was, 17-14 West Virginia. You know, Minnesota made a historic jump, 9 spots last week. So do it against Oklahoma, do it against a really good opponent. Now Baylor can make that jump and start to move, but I'm fine with them being where they're at right now.
I'm fine with them being ranked lower, but not being a double-digit underdog. To your point, I would say, what has Oklahoma done to deserve that credit, especially
they beat Houston.
So of late.
It's a big win, then.
And OU has given up 82 points in their last 2 games.
Yeah.
They need to survive a 2-point Iowa State conversion.
Iowa State's a good team.
Iowa State is a good team.
Baylor beat them.
You know, our man Bear says 10 is too much. 7.5 sounds more reasonable.
Oh, well, that's 10 then.
Okay.
In Bear we trust.
You should have just led with what Bear told us, and then we all would have snuck. We would have been smart there, Gene.
Well, they've had some injuries this past week.
Yeah.
They did have to squeeze past Iowa State. They did get beat by Kansas State on the road. Anything can happen.
Speaking of on the road.
You do not want to miss Gene's feature tomorrow, by the way, on Oklahoma wide receiver C.D. Lamb. Going to be incredible on game day. Gene, thanks for hanging
out. Looking forward
to
that. Yeah, looking forward to it.
These guys, I don't know about thanks for hanging out, but thanks for hanging out with us at Baylor. This is going to be the site of an incredible football game tomorrow night and game day. You don't want to miss any of it. Desmond Howard, David Pollack, Gene Wojciechowski. I'm Jason Phipps. Thanks for hanging out with us on College Football Live. Have a great Friday.